A jury was selected today in the federal trial of three former Minneapolis police officers charged in the killing of George Floyd. John Yang has more.
Judy, this is the next chapter in efforts to hold Minneapolis police officers accountable in the death of George Floyd. What began as a call to a convenience store more than a year and a half ago touched off protests around the world for racial justice and police accountability. Special correspondent Fred DeSanLazaro begins our coverage with a reminder of how we got to this point and a warning. Some of the images in this report are disturbing.
One down, three to go. That was the message above the Minneapolis intersection known as George Floyd Square in the weeks after Derek Chauvin's conviction last year. It was a reference to the three other former Minneapolis police officers, Tu Tao, J. Alexander King, and Thomas Lane, who were at the scene on May 25, 2020, and now face federal civil rights charges.
It's our duty!
Almost a year after Floyd's death, Chauvin stood trial on state murder and manslaughter charges. For weeks, inside a heavily fortified Minneapolis courthouse, often emotional witnesses recounted the events of that day, including Darnella Frazier, the teenager who filmed the viral cell phone video of Floyd's death.
It's been nights. I stayed up apologizing and apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life.
The jury found Chauvin guilty on all counts after just 10 hours of deliberation. He was sentenced to more than 22 years in prison. Many in the Twin Cities rejoiced.
Now the fencing is back up, this time around the federal courthouse in St. Paul. And some of those same witnesses will be called in once again to testify.
Tao, King, and Lane are charged with depriving George Floyd of his civil rights while acting under government authority. Chauvin has already pleaded guilty to the federal charges and awaits sentencing. King and Lane, both rookies on the force, arrived first at the convenience store where Floyd was accused of passing a counterfeit $20 bill. They took Floyd out of his car and attempted to arrest him. Tao, who'd been a full-time Minneapolis police officer for more than 8 years, arrived with Chauvin a short time later. And after the officers struggled with Floyd, bringing him to the ground, Chauvin knelt on his neck, King near his back, and Lane held down his legs. Tao kept bystanders from intervening. On body camera footage, Lane can be heard twice asking Chauvin, the senior police officer on the scene,
"Roll him on the side."
At one point, Lane and King appear to discuss whether Floyd had a pulse.
Is he breathing right now? Check his pulse. Check his pulse. Check his pulse.
The trial will not be broadcast publicly. The judge in the case expressed concern about the proceedings, quote, getting out of proportion. He urged lawyers to limit the number of witnesses and move quickly to avoid delays caused by COVID. Tao, King, and Lane still face a state trial for aiding and abetting murder and manslaughter. It's now been delayed twice, awaiting the conclusion of the federal case. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSanLazaro in St. Paul, Minnesota.
The charges and issues in this federal trial are different from those in the earlier state trial that ended in the conviction of Derek Chauvin. Angie Porter is a research fellow and adjunct professor at the Georgetown University Law Center. Thanks so much for being with us. Help us understand these federal charges, depriving George Floyd of his civil rights. What does that mean?
Absolutely. Thanks, John. I want to emphasize that in federal court, we're really thinking primarily about a person's constitutional rights. And in this case, we're thinking about George Floyd's right to reasonable seizure, i.e. a reasonable arrest, and also his right to due process, his right to not be deprived of his liberty without getting medical attention for a serious medical need. So those are the two areas that are infused in the charges in the federal case.
In the state case, you were talking about what Derek Chauvin did. What are the challenges in proving that the federal prosecutor is going to have in proving that this federal charge?
You know, I think the challenges will really be to focus the jury in on the issues, because lay people come to these cases thinking about the overall incident. And so the prosecutors are really going to want to narrow their focus on what each of these defendants did and on their role. So even though Chauvin is out there, they have a role vis-a-vis Chauvin. They have a role in processing what he was doing and thinking about how they should behave under law to prevent George Floyd's deprivation of rights.
So could they be looking at things they didn't do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first charge actually is failure to intervene with the deprivation of rights. So by failing to tell Chauvin or to insist that Chauvin get up off of George Floyd's neck and back, they are violating George Floyd's constitutional rights. So it's absolutely about the omission there and not the action.
One juror was excused after saying he was worried about the influence of race in this case and he couldn't be impartial. What role does race play in the prosecution of these charges?
Yeah, I was actually very disappointed in the statements of the judge in response to that juror who raised concerns about race, because as we all know, race is absolutely at the heart of the underlying incident that gave rise to this trial. So even while race is not relevant to the charges, the judge responded by saying race in no way, shape, or form has a part in this case. It had, you know, that to me is a delusion. That is aspirational, perhaps, for him to say that, but it's not the truth. And I think there should be an acknowledgement that this case was the springboard for the racial reckoning, as people called it, after George Floyd's death. Race is always a factor, and it's absolutely going to play a role in the minds of these jurors as they're looking at these three police officers. And as you mentioned, John, we're pulling from the whole state for this jury. We're not just pulling from Hennepin County. And so the demographics are going to look different. They're going to look more white. It's going to be more homogenous in terms of race. That's definitely going to be important. And I think by understating the role of race in this case and in our reality as a community, as a state, as a country, I think the judge really did a disservice here, and it was not reflective of what a lot of people are thinking in terms of this death and the actions surrounding it and the inactions surrounding it.
Derek Chauvin has, as Fred said in the piece, Derek Chauvin has pleaded guilty to these federal charges, of course, convicted in the state trial. To what extent do you think his presence is still going to be felt in the courtroom? Is he going to be sort of looming over this case?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As we discussed before, these charges are related to whether these officers intervened and whether they followed the lead of Derek Chauvin. They are certainly going to use him as part of their argument, saying, oh, he was the field training officer. He was more senior to us. We were following his lead. They will try to disavow themselves from Derek Chauvin. Note, however, Derek Chauvin took that plea, and as part of his plea, he said he didn't force these other three to do anything or to not do anything. And so they're going to have to contend with that.
Angie Porter of the Georgetown University Law Center, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.